Because see, we don't taste life as a meal. We experience the ingredients in isolation. In God's mind, your life is a meal. In God's life, your God's mind, your life is Thanksgiving Day. What do y'all eat on Thanksgiving? I might come over. Put it in the chat. What y'all got at Thanksgiving? What is it? What do you like at Thanksgiving? What do you have at Thanksgiving? Mac and cheese. I might come. Can somebody do better than that? Mac and cheese and sweet potatoes. Not like sweet potatoes or a sweet potato thing with marshmallows in it. Yeah, because I really just, the sweet potatoes are the middleman for me. I just want the marshmallows on top of the sweet potatoes, honestly. So yeah, that's good. That's good. I might come. What else? What do y'all have at Thanksgiving? See, I don't know. I'm making everybody hungry. I'm losing my audience. This is really bad public speaking. What am I doing? You got to understand that the moment that Naomi is in her life right now is a blessing. But it's a mixed blessing. It's a mixed blessing. I noticed the room got happy when I said, you're stepping into a blessing. It's like, yes, I forgot to tell you, it's a mixed blessing. I forgot to tell you, it is a mixed blessing. So that means you need to prepare for the blessing as it is actually going to be, or you might miss the blessing. Because it's going to be mixed when you get it. In fact, Naomi was in so much pain there in Moab where she went to escape from Bethlehem where there was a famine. It seems like she did all right when she lost her husband, but when she lost her sons too, she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Because Naomi has the connotation of pleasant. Mara means bitter. And after what she's been through, can you blame her? When somebody has been through something like this, you don't tell them, it'll come together. What will come together? How can you replace those boys? Even if God gave me 20 more, it wouldn't replace them. That's how it is sometimes in your life. Don't try to tell me it's going to get better. Call me bitter. When that kind of bitterness hits your heart, you don't even want to hear about better from anybody. Not from preachers, not from teachers, not from Pinterest. Don't tell me all things work together for the good of those that love God. Because when you taste the ingredient in isolation, it would be lying to say, that's delicious. It would be lying. I was talking to a guy in, I think he was in London. Yeah, he was in London. He said he had to lay off 40 of his 200 employees. He said, but you know what? It's a good thing. I said, I understand what you're saying, but for them, I hope you didn't tell them that. He said, no, I'm not telling them that. I'm just telling you that. I said, well, make sure you don't tell them you feel that way because they probably don't see it like that right now from your perspective. He said, you got a good point. You got a good point. And it is a good point. When you are tasting it, have you ever walked in the kitchen and just use an example. I'm not a cook. Take a scoop of baking powder and just down it. Did you ever do it? So baking powder is bad. Anybody want a big heaping pile of baking powder for lunch today? Raise your hand. Why are you messing up my illustration, bro? Now, this is the message. You want the whole message in a moment? This is the whole message. This is the whole message. This is why you came from Michigan, so God could tell you. This is why you tuned in online. Just because it tastes bad in isolation doesn't mean it won't serve a purpose in the finished product. I'm not saying that. The Bible said that after Naomi had gone so low that she said, this doesn't taste good. This doesn't taste good. And honestly, I figured out why people in church often look so sour when they're in church. Because what you went through this week didn't taste good. And you are trying to praise God with a taste in your mouth of disappointment and fear. Am I preaching yet? I mean, it's hard to say hallelujah when your mouth tastes like hurt. Woo! Call me bitter. You might as well. You might as well. You might as well. And taste good. And yet, what a strange blessing that they gave. Let me give you a little bit more background so I can make sure I'm not confusing. Graham's my guy, you know. He told me the other day, he was like, Dad, sometimes you got to slow down with these scriptures. You've been looking at them all week and we're just waking up. You got to slow down and break it down. So even though I can't do it justice, the book of Ruth is beautiful. And you could read it in the time that you could watch half an episode of Ozark. And when we move through it, we see Naomi, Elimelech, Kilion, and Mahlon. Mahlon's Ruth's husband. Orpah is married to Kilion. And both of those baby names are available, by the way, if you want to have an original name for your kid. But when they went to Moab, they went to a place that they didn't, this is important, plan to go. This message is for somebody who is in a place you didn't plan to go. And I'm going to take it further. Sometimes it's a place you hate being there because they're from Bethlehem and they're in Moab. Kind of like when they went to Egypt. I mentioned it earlier, when the Israelites went to Egypt. They didn't go to Egypt because it was their dream to go to Egypt. It wasn't on their bucket list to go to Egypt. They went to Egypt to survive. And we've talked about that a lot because I think a lot of the sin cycles we get sucked into in our life are out of survival mechanisms. And if we don't deal with it that way, we just put so much shame on it, we can't help anybody get healed because people won't come to Jesus because you don't understand the power of his covenant with you. You think Jesus is like other people and that there'll come a point where he'll be ashamed of you. And he'll go, oh, well, that's too far there. I was going to use you, but really, you did that? You don't understand the power of a covenant. But Ruth did, because when Naomi said, leave me, I've lost my husbands, I've lost my boys, I've heard there's bread in Bethlehem, we've been here 10 years, Naomi said, I'm not leaving. Make a covenant with you. Whither thou goest, I go. Your God become my God. And your God will often become the same God as your friends. If you are around people who worship status and stuff, it won't be long till you're shackled to the same things they are. But now touch somebody next to you and say, you ought to hang out with me a little while. You hang out with me, you're going to have strong faith. You hang out with me. Come on, Def Leppard. If you hang out with me. So they go back together. And Naomi, in this honest moment, she says, call me bitter. I still got the taste in my mouth. I'm going back to Bethlehem, which means house of bread, which makes it that much more depressing when there's a famine in Bethlehem. When there's a famine in the place that is named after bread. When the joy of the Lord is supposed to be your strength, and you are a Christian and you're depressed, and you are a Christian and you can't sleep, and you are a Christian and you have addictions, and you are a I am a Christian, but I got an ADD, ADHD, ADDICTIO. I'm in the house of bread, but I'm hungry. Call me Mara, she said. Ruth said, I was with you when I wanted your son. Now you don't have a son to give me, but I'm still with you. I wonder who the Lord is saying that to. I'm still with you. I don't sell low and buy high. God is not Warren Buffett. God doesn't trade like that. God said, I'm still with you because I made a covenant with you. It's not the kind of covenant I made with Noah. That was limited. It's not the kind of covenant I made with Abraham. That was limited. It's not the covenant I made with Moses. That was limited. It's not the covenant I made with David. That was limited. This is the covenant of my blood made with the life of my son, and I am with you. In your bitterness, in your brokenness, God said, I'm with you, but I'm bitter, but I'm with you. And I love the Lord because he wrote the Bible. And he knew that the woman who said, I'm bitter and it's over in chapter 1 would be holding a baby in chapter 4. So he gave her someone named Ruth, the Moabite. He gave her a Moabite. Not somebody from Bethlehem, somebody from a place that she never wanted to be. But remember, it's God's kitchen. So if you walk around God's kitchen tasting stuff, I don't like that. I don't like that. You know how you are. Some of y'all are faith foodies. And you walk around, no, I don't like that. See, now listen, you get to tell God certain things that you want him to do. God, I want you to grow me, mature me, bless me. You can say all that to God. It's good. You don't get to tell him how to do it. I'll go a step further. You get to tell God what you want. You know, that's the first thing Jesus asked in the New Testament. He turned around and people followed him. He said, what do you want? Let's just get right to it. Cut to the chase. Cut through all the niceties. I don't need a soliloquy. What do you want? He said, we want to see where you're staying. So you got to follow me to know me. And that means that if you judge stuff while it's happening, you'll call yourself by what you've been through. Are you with me? I was in the kitchen the other day and Holly was making breakfast and I was trying to be helpful. But I can't cook. But I wanted to help out. And she had just finished the sausage, so I was taking the pan to pour out the grease from the sausage. And I can tell who cooks in the room by your reaction. Because she said two things to me that I'm gonna preach to you. She said, leave the grease. I'm about to use it. That's the first thing she said. I'm out of the book of Ruth, I'm in 2 Holly. She said, leave the grease. She said, because I'm about to make your eggs. And when I make your eggs, I'm going to take these eggs and I'm going to all things work together. Now, the grease on its own is not something that you want to eat. But if you let me leave the right amount of grease for this recipe that I know. See, because if I make your eggs without grease, she looked at me and said the second thing, she said, you need to get out of my kitchen. And I hear God saying to somebody who's been telling him what he can't do, what he shouldn't do, I heard the voice of the Lord. I was praying about it. And God said, Hit your neighbor, say, get out of God's kitchen. Get out of God's kitchen. Get out of God's kitchen. Stop asking God to bring people back who were supposed to go. Get out the kitchen. Stop asking God to take thorns away that he left so you could know him. Get out of the kitchen. Get out of my kitchen. Let me mix this. Because when I get done mixing these eggs with this grease, when I get finished mixing your pain with my joy, when I get finished mixing your gift with your offer, get out of my kitchen. Woo! In my weakness, he is strong. That's grease. That's grease. That weakness is grease. Stop trying to get rid of it and let God mix it.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.